message is transmitted at the request of the United States Office of Civil Defense. At 3:40 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, NORAD detected a long-range nuclear missile launch in North Korea. This missile is believed to be headed in the direction of the Los Angeles metropolitan area. It is believed that it will impact this area within the next 1.5 to 2 hours. All residents within a 400-mile radius of this area should seek a fallout shelter immediately. Fallout is a product of nuclear attacks. Prolonged exposure to fallout will result in certain death. Fallout spreads across large areas approximately 1 minute after impact. If you cannot find a fallout shelter in your area, local authorities will lead you to one. Take a battery-powered radio and all essential supplies with you to the fallout shelter. Tune to 770 AM on your radio for emergency information while in the fallout shelter. Sheltering in place is not advised, as your survival cannot be ensured in that scenario. President Obama will be speaking on all television and radio stations shortly. All television and radio stations in the United States will now cease their regular programming to carry this special message from the President and to report on the news of this incident.
Well, if that doesn't make your dick turn to a gummy bear and go inside of your body.
the funny thing is I bumped up two sizes on my butt plug this week, and that just made the whole entire thing close.
It just fucking popped it right out.
Shut it. It's like really a cork. It's really hard to sit on right now.
Oh, God. Well,
that's one way to start an episode.
That is. We decided to forego the sweet song that I recorded.
Yeah.
And, we're going to go with something a little bit more creepier to start this one out. If you can't tell, we are doing the episode on nuclear war today.
I don't even know what this episode's called. Is it nuclear Armageddon? Is it nuclear bombs? Is it how to save your asshole when it's blown 5,000 feet in the air? What's it called? I don't know.
I think it's called We're All Fucked.
Yeah.
Well, before we get into this, because this is such a crazy topic.
It's heavy, but we're going to keep it light.
Yeah, and I'm going to start off with a sweet story of something that happened to me this week. I've been dying to tell you all week long.
Go for it. Because
I know you'd appreciate it.
So you've been hiding things from me this week?
I'm sorry.
This is never going to work.
It's never going to ever work. So I was working, I think it was Wednesday, working downtown. Mm-mm-mm. Which anybody that knows anything about our area, our downtown, which I'm assuming is like a lot of downtowns, it's a complete shithole. No pun intended, as you'll get with the story.
I thought you were talking about my butt plug. No. Shithole and stuff.
That already shot across the room. It's in the next area code. So I'm working downtown. I'm running this line on the side of this building at the plasma building.
Running line, you like do cable.
Cable, yeah.
Okay.
So I'm running these lines here, and I go to the side of the building, and I'm standing there, and I'm like, man, it fucking stinks over here. Like, it smells really, really bad.
Did you do that thing where you take like a knife hand and drag it inside the inside of your balls and your leg and smell and make sure it's not you?
Well, I knew it wasn't me because I didn't think I could make a smell that bad.
The knife edge swath.
And you just go dump your hand in a mud puddle afterwards to get the smell off. But no, so I'm sitting there standing and I'm like, what just happened? I look down. I'm expecting, you know, I'm going to be standing in some dog shit. Like, great. It's happened. It happens all the time. No
hobo,
big deal.
Hobo shit.
Yeah. I look down. There's shit stuck to the bottom of my shoe. So no, it gets better. The smell immediately made me realize it was human shit.
Human fecal matter.
It was a fucking log. I had a log stuck to the bottom of my boot.
Was there peanuts and shit?
It was bad. So here I am standing in ankle deep in bum turd. I decided to give it a good kick and it just flies off, right? And this is shit-based humor. This is like the lowest on the comedy level. It's as bad as you can get. So I kick the log off. I go over, I'm dragging my foot through the grass like a dog with worms.
Some pissed off old man comes out of the bush and is like, hey, I wasn't done with that shit.
So I get everything off. I'm using a stick to scrape it out of the grooves in my boots.
Like, yeah.
I'm completely clean. I use some water that's in the parking lot to get it out. I'm like, okay, cool. I'm set. Finish the job. Forget about it. I go on to my next job a little bit later, and it's a house, so I put on my boot covers. Because I don't, you know, I'm not trying to pay for somebody's carpet to be clean. And I go downstairs in their basement. Their basement has water. It's water on the floor, so they have a basement leak somewhere.
Yeah.
So I'm like, that's fucking sweet. I'd hate to pay for that. And I'm sitting there, and I'm walking upstairs, and I don't notice that the tip of my boot cover has a hole in it. So I'm walking, and as I'm walking, I feel a slosh in my boot cover, and then shit water comes out all over their floor.
Did you tell them?
They're sitting in the other room. They don't notice. Like, so I go in panic mode.
I'm like, that shit water.
I'm like, it smells weird in here. I run over as fast as I can to their sink, grab a bunch of paper towels, take a bunch of soap, like throw it all over it, and clean up as fast as I can.
Oh yeah, Gina, I was in your basement, and I couldn't help but notice there's some turds floating around that water downstairs.
There's shit everywhere. But
that's the shittiest thing I've heard all week for sure. Pun intended.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it was.
Are you okay?
Traumatizing.
Are you okay now though?
You know what? I'm amazing. As I was leaving, the daughter was there mopping the kitchen floor.
Guts got cut open.
Yeah.
Shit.
But all shit aside,
it's Saturday. Woo! Yeah. We're recording the Brohio podcast.
And we are.
I don't see any shit on the floor.
I don't. I cleaned that up before you got over here. I was in panic mode.
I do have some good beer, though. You have some good beer.
Beer plug again. This is going to be a routine.
Yeah. I'm drinking Boulevard Brewing's Dark Truth. They're out of Kansas City, Missouri. It's a Imperial Stout.
I am double fisting some more Mad Tree. Rounding third.
They liked some of our stuff which means they want to give us monies.
Please give us money or beer.
Or I propose a plan where they just give us beer credit.
That would be sweet.
That would be better.
I'll work for beer credit. All right. Well, getting into nuclear war. I'll let you begin because I think you can kind of set the tone here a little bit for us.
Yeah. Sure. Well, before we do that, I do want to say we are doing the poll on our Facebook one of our new episodes coming up. Also, there's a giveaway. If you rate our podcast, take a screenshot and show it to us, we're going to mail you a sticker for free.
Yes.
But then you also get entered into a drawing for a free Brohio t-shirt. Four people are going to win that.
Free swag.
Yeah. And also, I wanted to touch on one thing, the Manchester bombing from last week.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if we have any listeners from overseas, but I do want to say, you know, we're thinking of them. But one thing that really upset me about all this is I was watching Inside Edition one day after work, and they said on the air that this was the same as 9/11 for the UK.
I don't know.
Listen, life is precious no matter how you slice it. I mean, a lot of kids died there in Manchester.
So they're saying that Cheney organized this.
Right. It was definitely Bush.
Bush did Manchester.
Right. But I think there was 22 people that died in Manchester. 19 or 22, something like that. But we had 3,000 people die in 9/11. And the residual effect of 9/11 is something you can't even... So I hate how distorted it is now that how we've gotten that far away from how bad 9/11 really was. That
right.
We're likening it to terrorist attacks where, you know, a couple dozen people.
Yeah. And I mean, here's the thing with the Manchester attacks, like looking at it as an event in history, I don't think 10 years from now, people are going to remember where they were at when they heard about the Manchester attacks.
No, but they are going to remember it.
They're going to remember it. Absolutely.
Yeah.
The 9/11 attacks was something.
I knew exactly what I was doing.
I know exactly where I was. I know, you know, who I was with, you know, it's one of those things. Like, it's like the JFK assassination. Yeah. You are never going to forget where you were at or what you were doing at that specific time of hearing the news.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, and I'm not trying to sound like heartless at all.
Right. Like I said, all life is precious.
The two, to compare the two is crazy. Yeah.
No matter if one person dies or 1,000 people dies, ultimately the loss of life is completely tragic.
Right. And it's unnecessary.
And ultimately, fuck ISIS.
Yeah. Yeah. Goat fuckers anonymous.
I'll kill them and I'll fuck all their goats. I've never done stuff with a goat before, but I'll try it just to upset them.
Can't hate on it.
Because as long as you have your socks on, nothing really counts. I learned that in prison. I wasn't.
Wait, when you were working.
Right.
In prison.
Yeah, for our listeners, I was never incarcerated. I was an employee.
Same.
Stuff did happen.
Jail, but not prison. But right. It's all right.
So back to the task at hand, nuclear weapons and nuclear bombs and fucking hot shit that burns your skin off.
Oh, God.
So
I looked a lot into the whole, the effects of nuclear.
It sucks.
It's horrible. So scary.
Yeah, it definitely sucks. But the nuclear bombs, it all started in the 1930s with scientific breakthroughs. We're going to call the academic creator, Leo Szilard. He was actually from Germany, and he was fleeing from an asshole named Adolf Hitler.
Oh,
so he was over there, and I think he was Jewish. And he's like,
no wonder he wanted to fucking flee.
Yeah, he's like, oh, man, fuck this. however they fucking talk over there. But then in 1939, a little foreign man by the name of Albert Einstein, he submitted a letter to our president, Franklin Roosevelt, and he said it was his belief that Germany was actually on the brink of creating a nuclear threat, which...
And I'm going to go out and say that Franklin D. Roosevelt was probably our most badass president that
He was up there.
He was, like...
Right there with Teddy Roosevelt. Yeah. Right there with Teddy.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
But FDR was definitely... I mean, he's a cornerstone as far as U.S. presidents
go. Yeah.
Anytime I think about presidents, I think about him and Abraham Lincoln is kind of my two go-tos.
Well, of course, and then I'm crazy and I think of JFK, but for all the wrong reasons.
That's good too.
I can't wait to get into that story. Right. I cannot wait.
It's going to happen. And Mr. FDR, he set up a small, we'll call it a small committee, but the thing was he had a small amount of funding. And it was the objective was to develop something to offset what Germany was doing.
Okay.
Because it was already known at that point that Hitler was a raging...
Wasn't a nice guy.
Nut licker.
Yeah. With a micropenis.
With a micropenis, which we are going to cover Hitler's death at one point, and I think the micropenis is going to pop up. I think...
Shout out to Color Me Dead.
I don't want to speak to our maturity level, which is pretty high, honestly.
I think so. I would say our maturity level is probably we're probably around middle school kids.
Oh, way worse than that. I think we will definitely dabble on the subject of Hitler's micropenis. You know what? I think we'll bob up and down on the micropenis,
slob all over it. That pathetic little thing.
Terrible. Oh God. All right. So yeah. FDR, you kind of half-assed this project with the funding that was needed to properly, I guess, produce a nuclear weapon. But there was a little incident that kicked Mr. FDR in the ass to get him to say, hey, I think it's probably a pretty good idea that we get this bitch going. It happened off the coast of the mainland. It was called the Pearl Harbor incident.
Oh, yeah. A little known event here.
I think there was a movie made about it.
I think so.
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
After Pearl Harbor, that's when FDR said, shit's about to get real. I need something to wipe out Hitler and that micropenis and the filthy Japs.
Yeah.
Can you say Japs on iTunes? We're on iTunes.
Well, we'll figure out.
Right. I don't know. We're about to find out. So they started a little project called Project Manhattan.
Yes.
That's a very popular subject in the lore of atomic weapons.
Right.
A lot of things people don't know is all the scientists from Project Manhattan were exiles from Europe.
Right.
They were all the greatest minds from over there that were tired of the shit that was going on over there. And I think ultimately it's kind of sick they wanted to destroy their own country, but that's what they did. I also read that they brainstormed a lot about various weapons. It wasn't necessarily just a nuclear bomb to start off with.
Mm-hmm.
they finally settled on two different projects. One was Fat Man, which is the atomic bomb.
Right, right.
But they also, before that, they were more focused on building a uranium gun.
That sounds like it would be for the
I don't even know
the betterment of humanity.
I don't even know what the fuck you would do with one of those. Like, watch how fast I can cook this potato.
What? It's at a flea market. It's got like a corner stand at a flea market.
Yeah. When I'm reading about some of this stuff, I see it and I'm like, I don't even want to read any further about this because it's just gonna break my head. So there, on the forefront was the uranium gun, but they
eventually thought that would be a good idea.
I've got a very good idea. So they passed on the uranium gun and they kept on chopping wood on the atomic bomb. Well, fast forward to April 1945, Mr. FDR passed away. I think it was from polio. I'm fairly certain that's what it was. So that's when Harry S. Truman took office, and he was the cold-blooded son of a bitch that pulled the trigger on all that stuff.
Good old Truman.
Yeah. But when he took office, he realized all the difficulties that the scientists were running into as far as actually producing the bomb. So one of his first orders in office was he wanted to detonate a practice bomb just to know what he had in his hand as far as defending the country.
Yeah.
So he ordered the test of the nuclear bomb in July 1945. There's a desert just north of Almagora, New Mexico.
Yes.
Which was the first test, and the first test was entitled Trinity, which I think is a super badass name for a nuclear bomb test.
It is.
And the device used to detonate the bomb, they said it wasn't any bigger than like a shoebox. It was called the Gadget.
That's so sweet.
That's so hardcore.
Trinity and the Gadget.
I like my gadgets like I like my porn. Sloppy and hardcore.
So stupid.
I don't watch that trash. The first test was 19 kilotons. Well, it was the equivalent of 19 kilotons of TNT, which I have no fucking clue what 19 kilotons of TNT would do. But I would have to imagine you could probably do some pretty cool stuff at the 4th of July.
Yeah. You could stick that up your neighbor's dog's ass.
Could you imagine driving? Because we have to drive to Indiana to get fireworks.
Yeah.
And I'm not into that
unless
stuff.
You want to buy those sweet Walmart fireworks.
Yeah. All I have is snakes and sparklers.
I got snakes and sparklers. Those are the only ones I like.
Yeah. Could you imagine just pulling up and they have a sign that says, we got kilotons now. We did away with the Husker do's and the Husker don'ts. We got kilotons now. So after the successful test of that bomb, that information was rushed to Truman. I don't know how they would rush information to a president during that time. I would assume just a simple telephone horseback. But after Truman received the information that, hey, you've got a bomb that could probably break off half the earth if that's what you wanted to do.
Right.
He made the Potsdam Declaration, which was sent to Japan, essentially telling Japan, either you can surrender right now, or we can spread your butt cheeks, and you're gonna get a big old bald eagle
ram
dick,
it in.
A big old bald eagle dick right up in you.
And this isn't no German micro penis. This is a big, fat,
right?
Big fat Polish sausage of an American
and
dick.
And the unwavering Japanese, they're obviously scientists, and they knew that bald eagles didn't have very big penises, so they weren't very afraid of it. So they kept up with their wicked Japanese ways.
Their shenanigans.
So that's when we flash forward to August 6th of 1945.
Dun, dun, dun.
A little bomb called Little Boy was dropped on Hiroshima.
I love the anecdotal names.
I know.
You call the fat guy Tiny. You got a big fucking bomb that's going to blow up an entire city. And you call it Little Boy.
The Gadget.
The Gadget, yeah.
Trinity. And 3 days later, that's when they dropped Fat Man on Nagasaki. Initially...
and then lights out after that.
Yeah. Initially, it killed over... Do you know how many people it killed initially?
No.
Take a guess. Because I found this number to be staggering as far as...
Man,
100,000 people were killed initially. And like we said before, there were 3,000 people that died
right in
9/11, which was a huge deal.
Yeah.
100,000 people. That was just initially. From the fallout and the radiation poison, you had an additional 10,000
that
died after that.
Yeah, I got about right around 120
thousand
that were totally affected.
And I'm sure it's still fucked up. Well, they said it's not nearly as bad as it was because America did do the due diligence of detonating the bomb in the air and not on the ground.
Right.
But there's still a huge crater in the ground, so.
Yeah, and you're looking at, you know, all the other nuclear fallout of that that's going to happen with radiation contamination.
Right.
And that the cancer causing from that and
two nuclear bombs have been used in the entire world. And those were the two bombs. So obviously these people weren't prepared.
Yeah.
For the hard fucking they were about to encounter.
And they surrendered right after
the
bombs were dropped.
They were
like, okay, we're you guys aren't fucking around. We're
August 15th. I think the second bomb was dropped on August 9th and they surrendered on August 15th. So that's just how long it took them to crawl out from underneath the rocks.
Yeah. Once they could find their assholes, they realized they were
too
far in.
Essentially ended World War II. It was a wrap. But after that, Mother Russia decided that they need a nuclear bomb.
Got to have one of those bombs.
Right. And this started an arms race with America.
Right.
Russia finally caught up in August of 1949. And Truman found out again that he was going to be one up by another country. So, Truman said, I want a fucking hydrogen bomb, which is like the worst of the worst.
Right.
I mean, it just breaks off pieces of the earth. I mean, it's,
yeah,
when they were testing it, they were demolishing islands. They were, I mean, burning people with third degree burns hundreds and thousands of miles away.
Yeah.
And there's certain, I don't know the name of the people, but there's certain people on an island off the coast that they are still paying right now because those people are still suffering from medical complications from a bomb that was dropped, you know.
They're just like indigenous people
So the first test of a hydrogen bomb was on November 1st of 1952 in the Marshall Islands. It produced 10.4 megatons of TNT, which was, actually, I think that's 104 megatons. I'm reading my notes wrong. It was 450 times bigger than the bomb that was dropped on Nagasaki.
Jesus Christ.
450 times bigger than the bomb that was dropped on Nagasaki. And never one to be outdone again. Russia, when they found out about this hydrogen bomb that America had in their arsenal, naturally, they decided they needed to make a big bomb. So, did you read anything about the Tsar Bomba?
I did, yes.
Holy shit.
Yes.
So, I have a few things here about that.
We're going to make the Tsar Bomba.
We must make something that will destroy all the children, all of the polar bears, but must not mess with our vodka. I think Vladimir Putin, like, after they detonated the Tsar Bomba.
Tsar Bomba.
He just fucking crawled out from a rock. Like, he was born out of just some type of nuclear fallout meltdown. And he's probably got a flat spot like a Ken doll, too, I would say. For sure.
Just a smooth little spot down there.
That's the thing, is all the most heinous, like, heinous dictators in the world all have either micro penises or flat spots. That's going to be my life goal, to figure that out.
Just touch them all. Tsar Bomba. Yeah.
Nice to meet you. Hey, don't touch me there. Yeah. So let me tell you about the Tsar Bomba.
Don't touch my smooth spots.
In 1961, they did produce a test, but they did it in a reduced state. The bomb it wasn't practical at all. It wasn't something that could be dropped from a plane.
Yeah.
But they could definitely drag that bitch into somewhere and just set it off. But the one they detonated for practice was 50 megatons, which is half of what they had already. So they essentially had a bomb that was 100 megatons. But the one they did detonate was powerful enough to produce third-degree burns on a person 62 miles away from the center of the blast.
Which, that's outrageous.
So you're an hour away from the where the bomb hits, and your skin is instantly melting off your body. They say for every mile, I think is the formula, every mile from the site, you have 5 seconds to get the fuck out of Dodge. Which, yeah, that's plenty of time.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
But during this arms race, this is kind of the start of the Cold War. But they started producing America. This is kind of hearsay, but Russia goes on record to have this type of device, but a doomsday device.
Yeah.
So I thought a doomsday device just sounds like a really wicked dildo, like something like a big old floppy double donger that would just rip you out.
It's the girth of a soda can.
So initially my first website I went to check for a doomsday device was Pornhub, and I couldn't find anything. I did find some other stuff though. But a doomsday device is a conglomerate of bombs that a country puts together. Well, we'll talk about America. So in various spots around the country, our country, are doomsday devices, which is a conglomerate of bombs, like hydrogen bombs, nuclear bombs. And essentially, it's enough firepower in these devices that if they are detonated, they will end mankind. They will deface 80 to 90% of the entire Earth, which, I mean, I put the stat on the Instagram that just a modern-day nuclear war would create so much smoke in the atmosphere that it would create an instant ice age.
Right. That's what the nuclear winter.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the term. I wanted to get into that too, which is crazy. It's just the explosion being so great that it essentially launches smoke, debris, everything into the upper layer of the atmosphere, blocking out all sunlight.
Yay.
Yeah, exactly.
It sleeps so good.
And they say like that, like a major nuclear war, if we were to have a major one, and it could lead to, you know, the nuclear winter. This is something that could last for decades, centuries, or an entire millennia.
Yeah, that's the thing, so, is there's no way to tell.
Yeah, and they say it could be greater than the one that made the dinosaurs extinct.
Yep.
So that in itself is completely terrifying. I mean,
just a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, so it's either you're gonna die because the bomb's gonna explode you to death.
But anytime you say dinosaurs, I'm intrigued. Like,
right. But yeah. I mean, this is going off the theory that, you know, it was,
you know, an alien nuclear war is definitely what caused the dinosaurs to go extinct.
Yeah.
I learned that on Bill Nye the Science Guy. Faux show. Russia, though, not to be outdone again, they created something called the dead hand.
All right.
Which is, that's where you sit on your hand, then you jerk off. No, that's a stranger. I can't remember. I don't know. We'll try it when we're done here. You can sit on my hand, then it's whatever.
And you jerk me off?
What? No. Wait, yes. No. I mean, yes. I mean, they created.
I don't think you have to sit on your hand at that point. You're just jerking me off.
That's right. Or you got, I had a mini stroke one time, and it was kind of the same thing. You just slobber and use the, never mind.
Every time I jerk off, I call it a mini stroke.
That's my pet name for it. Christ. And again, I'm sorry for all this. But. So the dead hand from Russia, the mini stroke hand. So Russia has the same thing as a doomsday device, but theirs is a little more intricate. They have a series of missiles silos all around Russia, and there's a main computer somewhere in Russia that monitors seismic activity, light, radioactivity, and air pressure.
Right.
And if it senses a change in all those, this computer shows like a warning. It does show a warning, and there's always someone in the office, okay? Yeah. And then once it senses these changes, it gives, like, it just pops up an okay button.
Yeah.
There's no launch codes. There's no authorization. So it could be the fucking janitor just walking down the hallway like, turn this computer off real quick. And he hits the okay button. And then it launches these missiles, essentially, that fly around the country and wake up the nuclear warheads. And these warheads have predetermined locations that they strike.
Just retaliatory.
Yeah. So essentially, these doomsday devices are a way of to say, okay, if you fucking bomb us,
right,
then the fucking world's gonna end.
Yeah, yeah. We have stuff already set up ready for you.
So it's like when you're fighting with your brother, and he's like, "I'm gonna punch you," and you say, "If you punch me, I'm gonna kick you in the fucking balls."
And the thing is with these programs is that what I've from my reading is that they're not the most reliable.
No. Not at all. I did read. We almost died once.
Yeah. That's the story I thought you were going to go into. That the guy saw the code that there was an impending nuclear attack. I think it was from the United States onto Russia.
Right.
But he decided to not say anything.
And well, he was taught in his training that he said if America attacks you,
it's
not going to be a couple missiles. It's going to be a barrage of shit. There's going to be hundreds of missiles coming your way.
Right.
And I guess the test kind of showed that there was maybe one or two missiles. And he used his training and decided against it.
Yeah, and of course, it was not an attack.
Right, but he was
later. But he would have hit that button.
Right.
It would have, a nuclear war, it probably would have ended the human race.
And he was given a commendation for not pulling the trigger, but he was also disciplined for not filling out his paperwork correctly.
Right.
And I guess for his discipline, they gave him a Cincinnati Hot Pocket. Are you familiar with that?
No, why don't you go ahead and tell me about that?
It's where you take a pillowcase and like, you have like 15 guys take a shit in it, and you beat the person with a pillowcase. Now you know. So that lets us transition into
shitty pillowcases.
Modern day nuclear bombs.
Oh yes, exciting.
Potential of nuclear war. The thing that frightens me the most is during my research, I found that there are America has lost about 11 nuclear bombs, and Russia has lost somewhere north of 40 nuclear bombs.
Yeah.
So in various spots around the world, there is just hydrogen the biggest, baddest bombs that they have just sitting.
Just hanging out.
There was an incident in 1961 in North Carolina where a B-52 was carrying two nuclear bombs. It was about to crash and it lost the bombs. One got hung in a tree, which kind of fucking baffles me. But the other one landed in a swamp. They couldn't find the bomb in the swamp. They dug down 50 feet and they couldn't find it. So one got hung in a tree and one buried itself to the fucking core of the earth. I can't make any sense of that. So what the U.S. government did is they bought the entire perimeter around that swamp and no one can go on it, in it, or around it because there's a fucking nuclear bomb just sitting there.
That's crazy.
And they lost another one that is actually one of their largest bombs in their arsenal. They lost it off the coast of Georgia somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And they say that it's only just a handful of miles off the coast. And then if it ever did detonate, it would completely desolate the state of Georgia. I mean, just...
Ugh.
Hotlanta gone.
Right. That would be.
Think of all the magical rappers we would lose.
Yeah. No more ATL.
ATL what?
ATL.
So moving on here to the more, I guess we should say, modern day nuclears.
Yes.
Nuclears.
Nuclear.
So now, in the present day, there's a nuclear... I guess they call it a sharing program where foreign countries host bombs from America, Germany, Italy, the Netherlands, Turkey, and Belgium. Like a Belgium dip.
Yes.
So we keep our bombs in those countries. They don't have the launch codes.
Right.
But it makes them feel a little safer knowing that there is a weapon of mass destruction sitting on their front lawn.
Right, exactly. They're just setting their beers on it.
And right. We got some shit.
Want to see my bomb?
Yeah. Which leads me to the nuclear capable countries in the world.
Yes.
So obviously you have US and Russia.
UK.
Yes, UK. France.
France.
Which I don't know why they have bombs, because they're a bunch of French, they're a bunch of goddamn Frenchies. And then these are the passive nuclear companies. We got China, France, China, Russia, UK, and the US. And they signed a treaty of non-proliferation of nuclear weapons, which it's kind of unfair. It promotes not allowing other countries to produce nuclear bombs. Right. Which ultimately, I think the end game for all this is for no one to have a nuclear bomb.
Yeah.
That's a very un-American thing to say.
Especially when we have the majority.
Yeah. Well, actually, Russia has the majority. Right. Russia's right about 8,000.
Okay.
And we're sitting about 7,000. But so, there's such a stockpile that they say is not capable of being used in war. But all they're active nuclear weapons that have to be stored underground. They're just waiting to be dismantled.
Yep.
So all these things have to do to be, I guess, you know, to be ready for war, is put on a fucking missile and brought back above ground, and they would be ready. There's not enough places to store all the shit when you dismantle a nuclear bomb, which is completely frightening.
Yeah. I think they said sort of somewhere around like 23,000 nuclear bombs in existence, and like 2,500 of them are like on high alert, just ready.
So one day you're going to have to get rid of all this shit.
Something's gonna happen.
It's gonna go into the ocean. That's where everything goes.
Yeah, I mean, I think for the most part, you know, everybody's trying to avoid the nuclear war. Yeah,
right.
As much as everybody hates each other,
but you can't avoid nuclear war because you have the non-passive countries, which I'm about here to provide you with.
This is where it gets where this start making more sense.
Yeah. So we have India,
which,
not necessarily a bad country to have, but they're kind of along the same lines as me, where they say, okay, we should be able to have fucking bombs if you have bombs.
Yeah.
So they have bombs.
And then the next two.
Yeah. Pakistan, which, no.
Right.
They were actually caught selling nuclear plans to Libya and North Korea.
Yeah.
The best possible thing for Kim Jong-un to have besides nuclear fucking plans is like a Jenny Craig fucking shake or something. Have you seen that fat piece of shit lately?
I have not.
I think
actually, I have.
He's 17 and he waddles like he's the Wilford Brimley in a diabetes and diabetes testing supplies. And that leads me back to the last non-passive nuclear state.
Oh God!
And that is one North Korea.
North Korea,
and they are launching intercontinental ballistic missiles on the reg right now.
Right. This is like the depressed teenager that you give a loaded handgun to when he's being picked on in school.
Cut your wrist and black your eyes.
Yeah. It's like, yeah.
Rar. Is that what that is? I don't even know.
Rar. That's old Tumblr right there.
But I think my concern with, they've had nuclear bombs for a while now.
Yes.
But the fact that they're finally producing something that can get it off the ground and to go somewhere
is
quite the feat.
Yeah.
I don't anticipate them having something that could reach the mainland in North America.
No. If they do, they don't know how to use it.
But the problem is they definitely have something that can make it to...
Excuse me.
That was a sneeze.
Yeah.
They definitely have something that can make it to South Korea.
Yeah. Which they're not friends with. They don't play well together.
And the aggravating thing for me is China still is kind of cool with North Korea, as is Russia.
Right.
And China and Russia have enough nuclear weapons to fucking ruin everything.
Yeah. Yeah, they... It's bad news.
It's completely bad news. Yeah. And Kim Jong-un keeps shaking his little Korean dick, because you can look up the statistics, they have tiny penises. He keeps shaking his little wiener, and Donald Trump, he's gonna pull that big old meat hook out, and he's gonna flop it down. And if there's one thing about Rob and I, we are the least political human beings.
No, yeah, that's
in the entire world.
That's the one thing. Whenever we started this, or it's like we were like, there's a couple things we don't want to ever talk about. Politics is one,
and I think we agree that we both think Donald Trump is kind of a douche nozzle.
Yeah, he's.
But I think he's definitely willing to pull the schlong out and slap it down there in North Korea.
Just hammer it right across his face. Which would cause a
fucking global tailspin of epic proportions.
Oh, that, God, it would be bad.
Economies, yeah. The environment. You think the fucking polar bears have it bad right now?
Yeah.
Wait till they got some fallout raining down on their head.
Yeah, I don't think they would last too long.
Right. So I think you had a couple things about nuclear submarines, which I know nothing about.
Yes, this is a cool thing about whenever we do this, is because we pretty much split up on our own, do our own research, and then kind of meet up and see what we got that's worth the shit.
Talk about it. Yeah, sometimes one of us shows up like, hey, man, I didn't do my fucking homework. So
then, you just go for it, man. Right. I'll sit back here.
Make some shit up. Everything I said today is completely made up.
Yeah. He doesn't even have any notes.
He's right. Cliff notes.
Yeah, Cliff notes. The Trident submarines is what I did a lot of looking on. Now, these things are crazy. They're essentially tanks under the water.
They're fucking huge.
They're fucking huge. We're talking like 560 feet in length.
Jesus, that's like a small city.
Yeah, yeah. these things are huge. They're pretty much you got two classes. You have the Vanguard class, which is what the Royal Navy uses in the UK.
Yeah.
Now they have four of these
that we know of.
Yeah, yeah, and they're our allies, so that's cool. Now we have 14, which ours are the Ohio class, and those are actually what it's being used by the U.S. Navy. That
strikes me as odd because America never overdoes anything.
Yeah, nah. Now we never try to overcompensate. Now, of course, these Ohio class submarines, they're the largest submarines that have ever been built for the Navy. These things are holding 24 Trident missiles per boat.
Just in case we need to blow up the whole entire goddamn universe.
Yeah, yeah. And these things, so you got 24 missiles. Each one of these missiles has a range of up to 7,500 miles.
So that's like, that could get you from Ohio to UK and back.
Yeah. And these things, and not only do they hold a lot of missiles, not only do they go super far, they're accurate within a few feet.
Yeah, and
within a few feet, and this is from underwater.
Yeah, and that's the thing about the submarines, you can't tell where they're coming from.
And just like I was telling Nick, if you get a minute, look at Trident submarine missiles being fired underwater. It's crazy.
It's frightening.
Yeah, there's you see water, you see a gust, and you see a missile, and it kind of just floats there for a second, and then the thrusters kick in, and then it's gone. Like, it's
some Toy Story shit.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's crazy.
I got a wild hair on my ass one day, and I wanted to look up how deep submarines can actually go, like our U.S. military submarines.
Right.
And you cannot find anything about it. There is only guesses. There's no confirmed information on the internet about how deep our submarines go.
I can't imagine. I mean,
right. It makes you worry about other countries, and that's such uncharted territory.
Right. There's so much about the deep ocean that we still don't know.
It's like the fucking moon. I mean,
yeah,
there's just,
it's just as foreign.
Yeah. We know more about the moon than we
know more about the moon than we do our deep seas, which is crazy.
Thanks a lot, Bin Laden. Yeah.
Now, the nuclear warheads, or the Trident missiles that they carry on these ships, there's enough explosives, sorry, on these things where it could kill 40 million people.
It's not that many in the grand scheme.
40 million. It's just it's literally a swimming bomb.
I don't care what the fuck they do as long as I can make it to bingo on Wednesday. Right?
Yeah, exactly. The UK, the Trident submarine that they have, that submarine by itself is 7 times more destructive than the bomb that was dropped on Hiroshima.
Yeah.
So, and
it's really important to have something like that around.
Yeah, you want to have that, like, you know what we got, right?
Some fucking Star Wars shit.
Yeah, it's the Chuck Norris kick of submarines.
And I don't know. That's the thing about, we can talk about how many different outlets there are as far as delivering these bombs, but all it takes is one of these pieces of shit to ruin everything.
It really does. And I mean, the thing with this is, like, if something just happens to happen where one of these nuclear bombs just goes off.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. Like, Pakistan's selling the plans. I mean, Pakistan, that's ISIS breeding. I mean, that's right. That's where they're at.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, if one of these things goes off, you're looking at like a possible chain reaction.
Yeah.
Or even just the damage from one of them going off.
The doomsday devices.
Yeah.
And it triggers one of those and it's done.
It's terrifying.
There's no one would be able to kick out of that. There'd be no recovering from that.
And there's this website we were talking about before we started recording here that I think it's like nuclear map or something like that, where you can actually go to your local area on the map. It essentially brings up like a Google map view of wherever you want to go.
Right.
And you can select what type of bomb you want to see.
What kind of bomb you want to drop on your city.
What kind of bomb you want to blow your city up with. It'll show you all the blast radius. It'll tell you how many people would die if that specific bomb was dropped. It's terrifying. There's some of these bombs that I was going through. I put right in the middle of Dayton. It was destroying everything from the top of Kentucky all the way up past Columbus.
Jesus.
And I mean, that's huge.
Right, it is.
It's terrifying.
To drop something like that on a major metropolitan area would completely cripple the entire world.
Yeah.
And that's one thing I tried to look up is, I was trying to see what would be the highest priority targets as far as another country delivering a bomb to America.
Yeah.
And the lists of the high priority, they were so long that there's no reason to even mention them all. So if you live in a major metropolitan area, you're on that list.
Yeah.
But interestingly enough, there were no cities from Ohio on there.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I would assume that obviously the safest place to be is going to be like the Midwest.
Wyoming.
Yeah. Like Idaho. But they, Oklahoma. America,
actually, that's where you keep a lot of their stuff.
The Ozarks.
Yeah.
Definitely the Ozarks. Oh, God, it's so good. I would like to get into the Ozarks as well.
So
that's an awesome story.
That leads me to what a modern-day tactical strike would probably be like. You're not going to, initially, you're probably not going to get a bomb right away.
Right.
You're going to get an EMP, which is going to completely take down all the power grids.
All the electronics.
It's going to, you're not going to be able to talk on the phone. You're not going to be able to turn on your television. There's not going to be any radio. And if they did drop the EMP, that would be enough.
Yeah, it puts us in the dark.
To shut America down to send us back to the Stone Age.
Right. And that would just be bad.
And they would follow that up with a nuclear weapon or a hydrogen bomb, and it would make it so much harder to detect with, I mean, practically all of our defense systems crippled for the most part.
Yeah, they say that from, this might be wrong, but they say that there's like, if a bomb is launched, we have about 4 seconds before, like a 4 second.
I think it's 4 seconds per, or 5 seconds per mile.
Yeah. And I mean, that's not enough. That's not enough time.
Right.
And I think there was like a margin of error with like a second in between. So and these puppies fly.
Yeah. And if you are caught for some horrible reason, if you are caught in something like this, the best thing to do, if you're outside, immediately you have to avoid making eye contact with the blast. You're going to want to look at it and see what it is, but it's going to be a blast of such magnitude that you should know that this is not something worldly. That you got to look, because it'll burn your retinas. It'll burn your eyeballs out of your head.
Yeah, Jesus isn't coming back riding on a nuke.
No. Well, you never know.
Well, he's just sitting there sitting on top of a velociraptor.
I've heard he's pretty pissed off about some stuff. Passion of the Christ?
Yes.
You know he's pissed off about that shit.
Oh, yeah. That is not what happened.
Right.
It did not happen that way.
So the best thing you can do is immediately jump to cover something concrete. Cover your head. That's kind of what they taught the kids during the Cold War, is to hide under your desk and cover your head. That's the best thing you can do, is get behind something concrete solid or cement and cover your head. Once the blast initially passes you, you're going to need to seek shelter.
Yeah.
Because the most dangerous part of the bomb is not, I mean, obviously the initial blast is going to vaporize anything, but there's going to be nuclear fallout for days, weeks, even months, depending upon how big the bomb is. So you need proper shelter, which as low as possible in a house, a basement. You're going to want to pick the middle of the basement and hopefully something that has concrete walls around it. As far as storage, food and water, with the bombs we're talking, the tactical nukes we're talking about, you're going to need around 2 weeks of supplies.
Yeah.
But the most important thing is to have batteries on hand for maybe like a wind-up radio or a battery radio. So
light.
You do have some kind of access to the outside world for someone to say, hey, it's not okay to come out, or maybe to say it is okay. But 2 weeks of food and water for
canned
you.
Canned food, bottled water.
And your loved ones.
Yeah.
And once you make it inside, you're going to want to get naked.
Yes.
Because your clothes absorbs around 90%.
Which is the radioactive.
Right. And if you're wearing black, it's going to absorb a lot more than if you're wearing white. White reflects it. Black absorbs it.
Yeah.
So take your clothes off. Take a hot shower.
I need another reason to just take my clothes off, so right, that works.
That's actually what the Department of Homeland Security says, is to take a hot shower.
Yeah.
You're going to want to wash yourself with soap and shampoo, but don't
neglect the taint.
Right? they really emphasize you got to dig up in the taint. You got to do the triangle scrub. Yeah.
Good. Damn it.
All up in it. But don't use conditioner, because conditioner causes the radiation to bond to your body and your hair.
So weird.
And another cool thing I heard, when they were testing the atomic bomb during World War II, there were several people that gave stories that said when they saw the initial blast, they'd obviously never seen anything like this before. They put their fucking hands up.
Yep.
And for that instant, they could see through their hand, like an x-ray. They could see their bones. That's sick.
That's crazy.
What would you do with x-ray vision?
You don't want to know.
I would go straight to the fucking nursing home. I would watch a Golden Girls marathon. Just, getting it in. Hard, meat beaten.
I would just be driving around the neighborhoods wearing the big old fucking Ray-Bans. You can't see my eyes.
Yeah. My luck, I'd get
with my arm out my car window, like, oh yeah.
Yeah, I'd probably get picked up by a pack of like geriatric fucking terrorists. That's just my luck.
Oh God, what a depressing episode.
I know. We tried to church it up a little bit, make it a little bit funny. I hope I hope just keep these things in the back of your mind. I'm happy to do the research and the stuff, and I'm happy to bring it to you guys. So maybe one day down the road, if for some ungodly fucking reason this is something we have to deal with, at least you can think back and say, hey, I remember the bros of Ohio said, this is what we need to do.
Yeah. That would be cool. And make sure if you live through it, you shout us out somehow.
Yeah.
share our podcast.
We would certainly get rich off that one. Have you ever heard of the nuclear football?
No.
This is just stupid notes I still have on here. Okay. So there's a guy that works for the Secret Service that has a football-shaped bomb shoved in his ass. No, I made that up. No. The nuclear football, there's like a member of the military or a high-ranking government official. Uh-huh. If you look in pictures of the president, there's always a guy close to him with a black briefcase that's like a cube. And this that is the nuclear football. It essentially folds open, and they have everything inside for a nuclear command center to where no matter where he's at, what he's doing, he can fold that bitch open and go to war.
Holy shit.
And every single day he's assigned new nuclear launch codes.
Right.
That happens in his briefings in the morning, but he doesn't have full, he does have some checks and balances as far as launching a missile. He has to go to the Secretary of Defense. There's several lines that a nuclear launch would have to go through before Trump can say, I'm just going to fucking do it.
Yeah.
I'm just going to send it. Which
is very, very smart.
It's extremely smart. There was actually, I want to say, a lieutenant in the military that was studying at Yale, and he proposed a plan where the nuclear launch codes were put in a capsule, and they were placed behind just a Joe Schmo's heart. During surgery, they would put the capsule behind the heart, and this guy would stay with the president at all times. And if the president wanted to perform a nuclear strike, he would have to cut the nuclear codes out from behind this guy's heart, essentially killing him, so the president would know in his mind that the act that he was about to commit by launching nuclear codes.
Jesus.
Just so he would have the feeling of death. I mean, how's that set your fucking Cheerios?
Oh, God.
Fortunately, that's not a thing. That did not pass legislation.
I wonder why.
It seems a little more humane than some of the shit we do.
I wonder if that would have been a voluntary job.
I would definitely volunteer for that shit.
You know what? If the money was right.
Right. I'd be like, hey, you gotta fucking catch me.
I think I could outrun the Secret Service.
Yeah, I'd definitely get naked and grease myself up.
Federal benefits, six figures a year, you know.
Because if I'm getting my heart cut out, I'm going down viral. That's for sure.
Yeah, at least put a bullet in my head first, then you can go crazy.
And I would not wash my ass. I would just be the stinkiest, flies flying around me, just truffle nut butter leaking down my leg. So, like, when it was talking, like, oh, man, are you sure? If he smells like this with not cut open, imagine what he smells like if we cut his ass open.
Inside smell like baby shit.
Smells like a bum's nutsack. That's good.
Oh, man. Well.
That's it for atomic nuclear war.
Nuclear. I hope it was somewhat informative or somewhat entertaining, and that you could look past all the noise in the background, because I have three boys and they're crazy.
Yeah. We're going to have them put down.
Yeah. we're going to trade them out for newer models.
We're going to give them fentanyl.
Spike their juices.
So we want to give them a little sneak peek into the next episode?
Yes. I'm excited about the next episode.
Very excited for this.
Yes.
I feel a lot better when we do creepy stuff anyways.
I do too, because this serious stuff is, it's a little...
Jesus, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, we have the poll up.
Still.
And leading right now is 911 and creepy phone, 911 calls and creepy sounds.
And parallel universes.
Parallel universes.
Now, here's the thing with that is that if you're voting on that post, just like I've kind of made it, you know, apparent with Nick here that, if you're wanting to vote and you're wanting to vote for a parallel universe, then you can go ahead and click the like button. But if you're just clicking like because you like the post, or it's out of habit because you like
chronic everything. Liker.
Yeah, exactly. You like when people talk about their grandmas dying and stuff. No, you're voting for parallel universes.
Yeah. And I'm not very well versed in parallel universes at all, and I kind of looked into it, and I'm definitely going to have to smoke a lot of pot for that episode.
Yeah, that's more reason. So if you haven't voted yet, go ahead and get that taken care of here. We got
JonBenet Ramsey.
Oh, suck.
Adolf Hitler.
JFK.
JFK.
Yeah, parallel universes. We got 911 calls.
And then you have the option of Rob and I summoning a demon on Facebook Live and possibly dying, which was meant more of like a funny placeholder, but there's some assholes on there that really want us to do that, and I think they really want us to die.
And you know what? If you vote for that, and if that ends up winning, just know that we're going to pick one of your houses to do this from.
Yeah.
My wife has said no. Nick's wife has said no.
Right.
So we can't do it at our houses, so...
We're coming. We're coming.
Yeah, you're supplying the house. Next episode, though.
Slender Man.
It's going to be an amazing episode.
He's very well documented.
I cannot wait to get into him and go over all of these creepy
little
lore.
These little nasty bitches kill over him.
They do. I cannot wait. So it's safe to say that the next episode can be a lot of fun.
It will be a lot of fun.
Yeah, there's enough material to where we can have a really good episode, and we don't have to be serious or feel like we need to be serious, right, and not be depressed afterwards.
Speaking of depressed.
Oh God, here we go.
It's time for shout outs.
Name time.
Shout outs. And to those that did the reviews on iTunes really help us.
Thank you. Yes.
We had a lot of people submit reviews, and then our subscriptions like quadrupled overnight. So keep the subscription or keep the reviews on iTunes coming. That really helps us.
Yeah. The more reviews and stuff we get, the more opportunities we have, you know, to get things like, you know, our stickers, shirts to send out, which gives you guys free stuff.
Free. It
helps us get bigger and grow our page. Like us on Facebook. It's our Instagram's doing really well, but our Facebook needs to.
We need Facebook people.
Yeah.
So speaking of people that shared, you know, anytime you share a content, you get a shout out on the podcast. We're going to start with Mark Ketron.
Thank you, good sir.
Yeah.
You beautiful man.
Again, Sean Macko.
Yes, another beautiful man, one of my best buddies.
He's just an incredible gift from God is what he is. He's a beautiful mind. And then my cousins, Tony and Molly Wilbanks, thank you guys so much. They also submitted really good reviews.
Thank you.
On iTunes, so they're getting some stickers.
I love you guys. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm going to send them some nudie pics.
Oh, yes.
Again, David Griffith, he shared us again.
Nice, thank you.
He also reached out to let us know that from the last episode, the Right Pat episode, that you do not have to pay taxes on an Air Force base. Because we asked that question.
I didn't think so.
And he wrote us to let us know that you definitely don't.
I didn't think so.
Yeah, Phil Whitehair, an old high school friend. Yes. Thanks a lot, buddy.
Thanks, bud.
And then the always delicious Stacy Alexander, my wife.
Yeah.
Which she's taking a one-way trip to Pound Town. She doesn't know it yet, but
thank you for letting me borrow your husband every week. Yeah, I appreciate that.
Yeah. Ember Hammond from Color Me Dead.
Thank you.
Also Angel Mays.
Yes, thank you.
Aren't they wonderful?
They are the best.
They're so nice. And their husbands are awesome too.
And they're awesome, yes.
I feel like there's like potential best friend stuff right there.
Yeah.
We got Trula Klein, my mother-in-law. She's you can go see her at the local Cracker Barrel. She'll hook you up. She's delightful.
Thank you.
She's very wonderful. Josh Williams. Thanks, Josh.
Thank you.
Courtney Campbell, an old friend of both of ours.
Toad, thank you, girl.
She's so wonderful.
She is awesome.
Amanda Adams again.
Thank you.
Amanda, I love you so much.
On the game.
Zach Merritt. He also.
Yes, awesome review.
He's got a sticker head in his way.
Yes, thank you.
And then Kelsey Chella. Last week, all I did was say Kelsey Chella. She's actually like, she's like a sister to me.
Okay.
So she was really upset about this. She's a military wife, and I think they might be going, they were going to get moved to some god-awful state like North Dakota or something. Ugh. But they're trying to work it out to come to Wright Pat.
Ooh.
Check out the alien buttholes.
Yes.
And Kelsey, I love you very much. And then one of my best friends since kindergarten, Chris Day.
Hey.
Actually, he's moving to Florida.
Okay, yeah,
so
I remember saying that.
I took one application for new best friend. Rob filled out the application, and he's my new best friend, Chris.
Yay!
So if you're listening, Chris, you can eat my cock, all right?
Go to Florida.
And then Quinn Hammond, the husband of Amber.
Yes.
Ember. So I guess that wraps it up.
It does.
Another episode of Brohio. This is episode 3.
In the books.
In the books.
Thank you guys very much for listening. If you're still here after an hour and 5 minutes, we appreciate that.
And just remember, if you get upset with someone this week, you have the option of the Cincinnati Hot Pocket.
Yes.
You now know about the Cincinnati Hot Pocket.
Well, thank you guys very much. We will catch you on the next episode, which will be Slender Man. We are still keeping our votes open on the other podcast, or on the other next one, until this weekend.
Keep voting.
Keep voting. And thank you very much.
I'm Nick.
I'm Rob. And this is the Brohio Podcast. Thank you very much.